You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands. We're your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Don't forget to check out the Broadway Podcast Network, which we are proud to be members of, by going to broadwaypodcastnetwork.com/Broadway Husbands. And check out BroadwayLifeApparel.com to purchase merchandise that goes to help the Actors Fund and other organizations at this time at BroadwayLifeApparel.com. All right, Steven. We don't have guests today, so we're talking about us. What are we talking about?
So it's just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
So today, I think we should talk about selling our apartment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do have exciting news.
Yes, we do.
We sold our apartment.
Yay!
So we've had this crazy long journey with this apartment.
Journey, yeah. It's definitely been a long journey.
We purchased our home in the East Village of Manhattan in 2010. And we were very lucky to have been able to do something like that. I never would have thought we would have owned property in Manhattan. But of course, it's always been kind of a pain in the butt because we were a little bit house poor for most of the time that we've owned it. It's about 10 years now.
Yeah.
Because paying New York City taxes when you're an unemployed actor is pretty much impossible. And we went through bouts of unemployment during the last 10 years where we were really struggling, right?
Yeah, I don't know that we were really struggling. I think that there was a year, it was 2013, was kind of like a slow year for both of us.
I was working at one point in 2013, I think 6 jobs at one time.
That's right. I remember it was awful. I mean, yeah.
And tour guiding for 3 different companies, and it was in the winter. Mm-hmm. So I was giving walking tours of New York City in like sub-zero temperatures. Yeah. And you were traveling a lot.
I was traveling a lot. I just wasn't... My gigs that I was doing were just kind of very sporadic, I remember. So, like, there was a lot of, like, do something and then wait around, audition, and then wait for the next thing. So it just wasn't, like, consistent, I would say, is really what the issue was.
Which is exactly what we said,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, it wasn't consistent.
This is the life of an actor.
And, totally.
And so we have had this apartment. It's been sort of I love this apartment because I love the neighborhood. I love the East Village.
I love the neighborhood. It's like basically what sold us on it. And
but how would you describe the apartment for someone who's never seen it?
I would say I wouldn't call it tiny, but because it's not tiny. It's a small one bedroom with really high ceilings.
It's in a tenement building.
It is in a tenement building.
And so
it's like 600 square feet.
The layout's, it's kind of a railroad layout, and we're on the fourth floor. So it's a walk up to the fourth floor. There's no elevator.
Right. So that's like when we first bought it, both of our parents were really upset with us because now we can never, at least my parents, now we can never come see you. I can't walk up those stairs. I mean, even though they of course did. And, but yeah, it's four flights up.
Definitely. There were times when we first bought it, like when you were doing Billy Elliot, where you would come home and be like, oh my God, those stairs at the end of the night after doing a show are no fun.
Yeah.
But I don't mind them anymore.
I don't mind them anymore either. But I think in the beginning
adjusted to it, but we ended up after 5 years of living here, we ended up deciding because that 2013,
yeah,
and 14 was a little rough that we were like, you know what, we could rent it out. And if we rent it out, that'll pay the mortgage and maintenance. And we could move to like a cheaper place uptown.
Yeah.
Which we did. And then we became landlords.
Yeah. Which came with other not issues, but just kind of, you know, when things needed to be fixed. You know, it's not like you're scot-free and people are just paying the mortgage and maintenance. You obviously have to take care of things as they come up, which is not an issue, but, you know, it just starts to feel like, ugh, God, all any money that maybe we're making from doing this is like,
it's going just to the going boiler, back to, or going to
the boiler or the heater,
or like
the washer and dryer was breaking down a lot recently, or not recently, but at one point. And, you know,
and yes, that was a perk. We had a washer and dryer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but we decided after 5 years, and then after going to Charleston, the goal when we moved to Charleston.
Wait. We need to rewind what? A little bit. So in 2016 was the first time we tried to sell.
Oh, right.
So at this point, it was probably like a little bit more than a year and a half that we had been renting it. And we decided to try and sell it. And I don't know, honestly, thinking back, and I don't know what we were thinking. We, I think, put it on the market
in October,
right before the presidential election of 2016, which I'm shocked that
our brokers
weren't like, no, don't do that. No one ever said, no, don't do that.
Well, we brought it up. We would bring it up and they'd be like, it's not going to be an issue.
Right. They're like, it'll be fine. Right?
Yeah. We brought it up and they'd be like, no, elections don't affect it. But it was such a tumultuous
time.
I mean, still
is. But
but we ended up listing it in October, and then Christmas and time came. And
right.
And then it was just like nothing was happening. Yeah. We did get an offer. A cash offer.
We did get a couple. I feel like we got
towards the end. Our tenants moved out.
Oh, wait. So that's what I wanted to say. So in October of 2016, we had decided to sell it. And I remember it was actually the night that we went to see Hamilton on Broadway, which is really cool. But before we went up to see the show, we stopped here
to
tell the tenants and just to kind of see what the apartment looked like, because it had been like almost 2 years since we had seen it, and just see the condition and see what we would have to like paint or fix or whatever. But the apartment looked amazing. They kept it in amazing shape. But we told them that we were going to start selling the apartment, and they took that as, oh my God, we need to find a new apartment, like stat. So within a week of us telling them, they then were like, hey,
we found a place in Brooklyn.
Because their lease was going to be up in January. That was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So they wanted us to let them out of the lease early, which we were like, we're nice people. So we were like, sure.
Yeah.
So then we had the apartment empty from December
to May.
So we were paying, and my show had closed.
So what was I doing at the time? Oh, I guess I was doing Hello Dolly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, so yeah, I was working. So we were paying all that twice, you know, the rent and the
maintenance
until May. And then no one was going to buy it. We did get an offer at the end, but it was kind of too late. Like, it was just like, we can't hemorrhage any more money while we're waiting for you to get your mortgage and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, so we just decided to put tenants in again. And then
we moved to Charleston.
And then a year later, we moved to Charleston in 2018.
Yeah.
And so they were still here.
And the intent was, after we decided if we liked Charleston, to sell the apartment,
right,
list it again.
Yeah.
In the spring. And then it would hopefully sell pretty quickly, because it's spring.
Yeah.
And it's a great location.
It is, and it's also a really cute apartment. It's super cute. It's very nice. We have, this is funny, we have, I'm going to tell them about the city windows. We have these things, these windows called city windows. What?
I think they're actually called city quiet.
Well, they're called city quiet, but I just call them city windows because when we first started looking at apartments to buy, there was like one apartment that I loved. And I remember it wasn't like loud outside per se, from like noise of like people or honking or weird stuff like that. But it was just like constant flow of traffic, I remember. And I was like, God, that's really loud. Like, I don't know. And our broker was like, you just get city windows. And I was like, city windows? What's city windows? Anyways, they're an actual thing, and they have like completely soundproof this apartment.
Yeah, we're actually in the bedroom right now, which is faces, on 2nd Avenue in St. Mark's.
And it's just so quiet. It's
so quiet.
So I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, the story is really good because we moved into this apartment and Steven was like, I'm going to just get an estimate for
for city windows.
City windows. So the guy comes and like measures, and I wasn't here. I don't remember where I was, but he ended up like saying, oh, it's like $2,000
or whatever
it per was. Window, or I don't remember what it was. And Steven at the time was doing, like I said, he was doing Billy Elliot. He was making really good money and getting all these Nutcracker gigs and making really great money. So,
And we had just moved in. You were probably in Florida. I think you were doing
Anything Goes
at the Malt Trooper. That's where you were, because it was right when we moved in.
Anyway, he was like, I don't know, I'm going to wait and see. But this guy estimated it was like $2,000 or $2,500 for both windows. Who knows?
I don't remember what it was.
And I was like, let's just wait. Let's just wait and see if we...
I was being cheap.
We get any more jobs or whatever. And I think it was literally like 2 months later.
2 months later, we get a call. Hello, Mr. Hannah. Your city quiet windows are in. When can we come install them? And I was like, what? What do you mean? They just came for an estimate. I wasn't sure. I never okayed it. Like I never said. And they were like, yeah.
And then I was like, Steven, did you give them your credit card? And he was like, well, yeah, but I thought I had to for the estimate.
So it turns out, because we had just moved, there was a lot of charges on the card, and I literally just paid it all off. I remember it being a lot, but I remember thinking it was just because of the move and all. Anyways, so I had paid for them and not even realized. And anyways, so they came, and we are so grateful that they did. And
he was like, well, what do I do? And I was like, well, they're going to install them. They're like
custom for the apartment. Like,
you already paid for it. And we're so glad. So
we are, because it's city quiet. I mean, it's like
on a Saturday night on St. Mark's Place.
It's super rowdy. It's
so rowdy. And you cannot tell when you're in this apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I love this apartment. I think I've always loved it more than Steven has.
It's true. When we moved in, my first reaction was always, oh my God. Because we had a much bigger apartment before we moved in here. And so the downsize was shocking for me, I think. And I think I never really adjusted to it almost.
Well, our furniture didn't really fit.
Yeah, in the beginning, our furniture didn't
fit.
And
it wasn't very organized.
No.
And I definitely, when we moved back last year, so here's the funny thing.
Okay.
So we tried to sell it last year. We listed it in the spring. This is 2019. And it doesn't, we get an offer literally the first week.
Oh,
we
right.
got this offer.
It was in March.
And we were like, great.
Great. Perfect.
And then I think literally,
and we told our tenants
they had to move out because we sold the apartment. And literally the week before they move out, the people pulled their offer.
So then here we were once again.
Oh my God. And if you've heard us talk about Charleston, we really took a huge risk in Charleston and we lost a lot of money. And we came back last summer really in debt and just really struggling. So to have to pay the mortgage and maintenance was like, we didn't know how we're going to do it. We really literally didn't know how we're going to do it. And luckily we have some really amazing friends who let us stay in their place uptown.
Right.
And we could keep the apartment empty. Steven was out of town working in Sacramento, and I came and I painted the entire apartment by myself for 2 days.
He did.
I was so stressed out.
He was so stressed out. He kept calling me. He was like, I'm painting. I'm so tired. And I was like, well, why don't you just stop or wait for me?
We're going to push this through. I want to sell this apartment. So I painted the whole thing.
But it wasn't about selling it at that point. Yeah, we were just moving in.
No, it was not.
Oh, right. It was still about selling it.
We were still trying to sell it.
Yeah. Sorry.
And he was like, if you get it a nice paint job, like a nice fresh paint job, right, it'll probably sell a lot faster.
That's right.
So I came in here and was like, shit, right, we're going to sell this mother.
Yeah. Because there was no furniture in it at this point.
So I painted it all bright white and just to try to increase the chances of it selling. And it just didn't sell. Like, we just didn't get any offers and we were pretty bummed. And so then in August of last year, we were like, let's just move back in. Actually, we went to the Actors Federal Credit Union and the mortgage department, who we already had our mortgage through, and we basically said, look, we've both been in multiple Broadway shows and we're back in New York and we made a mistake and we're moving back, and we
can we please
can refinance? You help us refinance our mortgage? And they're amazing. Yeah. And so they, even though we didn't have jobs, they looked at our resumes and our history and said, yeah, there's no problem.
I mean, it's not like we didn't ever pay our bills or anything.
So they helped us out so much. And that was in August. And then I booked Wicked in November. And we were like, great. We're going to just stay here for a while. And then COVID.
And then COVID happened in March. And so...
So we weren't had no intention of we were going to like...
Just stay.
We deferred our mortgage when COVID hit, which a lot of banks were doing. And we were pretty happy with that. And we were going to keep deferring until we knew what was happening. And then our real estate broker called us.
Well, no. So COVID hit. And then we actually went out of town we were there for 3 months. We went to Pittsburgh. And while we were in Pittsburgh...
We've talked about that already.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying, it wasn't like we were here.
Right.
Like, we weren't here. Yeah. And then we got a call from our mortgage broker. And he said, I have a colleague who has somebody who's interested in seeing your apartment. Because I guess they saw the listing or the old listing. Or maybe they asked him if he knew any
apartments. And we were like, well, we're not there. We're
like, yeah, we'll entertain an offer. Go ahead. Check it out. The apartment looks great, too. Like,
and we were literally like... They'll probably make an offer and we'll say no. Because in the fall, I put a lot of TLC into this apartment. I decorated and
we had just finished buying like a new sofa
and I put up a beautiful mirror and like I did a little Wayfair. You got just what I need.
Yeah.
And made it really nice and really livable, which of course then they saw and made an offer.
And so we decided, you know, it was good enough and we decided to do it. So that's kind of how it happened. And we felt like it was sort of like a blessing during this crazy time, right? It was like this really big, bright spot. And, you know, at one point I was kind of leaning towards saying no. And then I took a day or 2 days and I was like, I remember we were actually painting my brother's house where we were staying in Pittsburgh. And I was like painting by myself. I remember I painted the living room by myself downstairs and you were upstairs. And I had this whole like, just like thought process of like, okay, what do I want? Like, what do I really want? Like, do I want to just hang on to this apartment for like the sake of hanging on and like not getting like the exact number that I want? Cause like, it wasn't the exact number that I want, but it was like close to it. Anyways, so I was like, what is it that I want? Do I want to sell the apartment to move forward with my life or in our life? Or do we want to just hold on and still be not stuck with it, but in the same situation? And then who knows what's going to happen? Like, you know, what the process of like recovery is going to be like through all of this. And so I just kind of was like, we have to do this. Like, we have to say yes, like, let's do it. So it was kind of like a moment of clarity where I was just like, what is it that we really want? Like, what are we going for here? Like, is this where we really see ourselves in the next 5 years and is living in this apartment still? And I know that sounds weird, but it feels like just the right time for a lot of
people. We kept saying, well, we can make it work. Like if we have a baby, and I do Wicked, this is a great location to like get to and from work.
Totally.
And we could make it work.
At least for the first year, it would be very tight.
But the fact that during the pandemic, someone made not just an offer, a cash offer.
Yeah. And it was close enough to what we wanted, you know? So it was like, we should do it. Like, what are we waiting for?
Let's just get, you know, let's just take advantage of that. I think that the universe or God is telling us something. So let's just do it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So we accepted the offer, and we just literally signed the papers this week, and we're moving out August 3rd. I'm not sure when this episode will release, yeah, but we'll probably be on the road at that point. And our plan really is to take it like we've been doing, one day at a time.
Yeah, and just kind of, you know, we're going to go and do various things. And
we're going to take you guys with us. We decided to do a little mini-series about our adventures to and from New York, because why not?
Yeah.
We just don't really know what's going to happen. So we are moving out of this apartment. We've our very first home that we've ever owned. We've been here. We've owned it for 10 years.
It's interesting, though, too. It's like when we first moved back in August, I want to say this, too, because it's like there was like, sorry, I keep saying like, the people that we were in 2010 are not, at least I can speak for myself, I'm not the same person in 2020. And when we moved back in 2019, I remember I was in the apartment by myself, and I was, you know, just doing household things that I had done millions of times in here, you know, like familiar scrubbing of the kitchen counters and doing the laundry. And I think I was cooking something, and I didn't do a lot of cooking when we lived here before. And it was just like, I was in this familiar pattern, but I felt like a totally, not totally different, but I felt like I had grown in such a like big way, or at least was different. I don't know if growth is the word, or different or change. I was just different. And so it feels like, it feels time to like move forward. But it's super cute, and we do love the neighborhood, but.
Yeah, I don't know how we'll ever be able really to afford to live downtown Manhattan ever again. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We're thinking when we come back, we might be in the suburbs, or, you know,
who knows?
Or Inwood or someplace like, you know, further uptown where you can have more space, because that's ultimately the issue.
Yeah. That's always been the issue with the
apartment.
For the
cost of what you're spending versus the amount of space, it's a little tight.
We need something to grow into again, you know?
So, sayonara to our very first home on the East Village. It will always hold a magical place to us. To me, it will always be a magical place. Right now, the neighborhood is changing a lot with COVID-19 and everything shut down. I mean, our one block, there's the corner of our street right here, every single thing is closed.
Yeah.
There's construction across the street and some scaffolding. And there's a little village of homeless people that have moved in under the scaffolding. And when I say moved in, I mean, they have furniture,
TV,
they have like,
it looks like they have a mirror up where they can kind of like check themselves out.
Yeah, I know. It's like literally looks like a living room. And we watched a guy shooting up the other day. Yeah. So I'm a little nervous for this neighborhood. I feel like it's going to take a step back from the growth that it's had over the last probably 20 years already. It feels more like the 90s. And what rent was like than it does what it feels like now, you know, like present day period. So we're going to keep sending some love and prayers to this neighborhood, and especially to the homeless population here who are being deeply affected by COVID-19.
We actually, you know, one of the things that we need to do is really look into the best charities to donate to help the homeless of New York and help the homeless of the United States, because it's deeply disturbing and sad. And I think what's so frightening about it is that, you know, we're in such an uncertain time, and it's hard not to think like, wow, this could be me. You know what I mean? Like everyone, just because of the uncertain time, it's like everyone's could be on the brink of like, who knows what. So We definitely need to find some really good places to donate to.
So if you, we'll leave some links. We'll do some research. I'll leave some links for you guys in the show notes. If you want to help contribute to the East Village, supporting New York City right now, especially people like us who are in the arts, who are being relocated.
I hope not dislocated.
Being relocated for the time being, temporarily, until Broadway comes back. But we will be taking you guys on our adventure. We don't really know where we're going to be headed, but we will keep you abreast. And we got this new little fancy mic so we can record our podcast in the car on our way.
Anywhere.
And always feel free to leave us a message on Instagram and let us know what you want to hear more of on these podcasts. Now, we're going to do our segment that we call
Spotlight on Love. All right. So I'm going to leave this person anonymous because that's just what I'm going to do. He says, hey, guys. Oh, well, I'm not going to read that part. So he just says, hey, guys. So I always see on your story about how to DM guys about relationship advice. And I've been wanting to. Anyways, so he's just saying, hey, I want to message you guys a message about relationship. All right. He says, so me, he says actually my and my, but he says, so me and my ex-boyfriend started dating at the beginning of COVID and then broke up at the end of the lockdown in May. So I'm 20. And he is 20 years older than me. And ever since the breakup, we have been friends and we still hang out a lot and watch Drag Race and such together. We will still like sit on the couch, that's what it says, and cuddle while watching. And we do still kiss and make out and such. And I don't want to ruin the friendship, but I also want it to turn back into a relationship because I know that I'm not what's best for him, especially since we are in very different stages of our lives. So I was wondering what your take on it would be, if we should just be normal friends or you guys think this is normal. I came out in September of 2018, so I haven't been out long at all, and I was engaged to my first boyfriend, so my gay life has not really been normal, LOL. So that's why I'm looking for advice.
Okay, all right. What do we think, Steven? I have thoughts, but you go ahead.
Okay, well, so you're gonna like, I think that your gut is probably right. You know, you just said it. I think your answer's in your question. He's 20 years older. You're in different places in your life. You know, I think that you need to honor those thoughts and feelings. And you know that. You said it, you know. That doesn't mean that you can't be friends. But I think by hanging out and kissing and whatever else is going on, that's only confusing the relationship and not allowing you to move forward, because by this taking up space in your life and in your head and in your heart, you're unable to be open to the other possibilities around you. So if you really believe that you're in different stages of your life, I think that it's respectful to have a conversation with him and say exactly that. You know, and as far as this other notion of like having a normal gay life or whatever that means, I think you're referring to like meaning that you have to hook up or sleep with a lot of people. That's just an assumption. But like, do you, don't worry about what other people are doing. If you've been engaged and now you're dating this other guy or about to maybe possibly break up, it's okay to just date one or two people. You know, I don't think that you need to date the world or sleep with the world, or, you know, you do you. You are attracted to who you're attracted to, and, you know, I don't think that that's an issue.
I guess my confusion is, first off, what is this idea of normal? And like, let go of that stuff, because there is nothing normal. There's no such thing as normal. It's about really owning what it is you want and really stating what it is you want and being clear and using your age as an excuse to say, well, I'm 20 and I don't know what I want is not it's not acceptable because you do know what you want. It doesn't matter what age you are. If you know that this, you want to be available for a relationship and this is not the relationship you want, then you know what you want. So I think just say it.
Yeah.
Like, have an open communication. You're not going to hurt someone, especially because he is 20 years older than you. I'm sure he's had more experience. So this isn't about normal. This is just about experience. And know that what you want is what's normal because it's what you want. It's specific to you.
Yeah.
I think that to me, you know, ask yourself, what is it you want? Do you want an open relationship? Do you want a monogamous relationship? Do you want commitment? Do you want to date people your age? Like, what is it that you've learned? Because every relationship is a chance to learn something, learn more about what's next for you and where you want to go. So what is it about this person? You're like, I like this and this and this, and that works for me, but I don't like this and this and this. And what are your non-negotiables when it comes to dating? And then take that information and move on and find the thing that you do want. Because it does sound like the friendship won't die. But if you set really clear boundaries about what the friendship is, you'll make space in your life for what you really want.
Yeah. That's what I said too, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that was helpful.
I think let go of this idea of normal.
Like, yeah, just be
what is normal?
You are normal. Like, that's you. Just
think I remember that. Like, you know, growing up and thinking, oh, we're supposed to be normal. It's like, well, no one's normal.
Even there's like just, the people that you think are normal aren't.
There's no such thing.
Something happening or yeah.
So as long as you're being healthy and especially right now with COVID,
yeah,
you know, maybe that's why this is working out. Cause maybe it's convenient because of COVID and you don't want to expose him or yourself, but you also should trust that you're capable of taking care of yourself and go for what it is you really want.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I agree.
All right. Well, thank you for writing in. If you want unqualified relationship advice from us, send us a DM on Instagram or shoot us an email at BroadwayHusbands.com and we will read your question on the air and answer it as best we can. And we will see or talk to you guys in the next episode. Don't forget to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.